Letters from Peck. A Tokra among the Croot. By Fior Bukan Ulira. A Tefiola Bukan Vashrun Kala. When I was told that there was spare capacity in the message boat, I could not resist writing to you, my sister. I trust you prosper, as Tau shall. The greatness of the Empire is truly a marvel. For the last 3 Kairotas, my Telesara has been on Peck, homeworld to the barbaric Croot. Fear not, sister. Their penchant for savage behaviour is thoroughly held in check by their desire to be part of our great Tau Empire. They allow us to go where we will, and readily submit to medical inspection, so we can better understand them and guide them forward. I have to tell you that if our preliminary research is substantiated, then our estimation of the Croot will have to be revised considerably. Our most remarkable finding is that the Croot are capable of selective mutation. We now have evidence that the life form we refer to as Croot is merely the most successful of a wide range of divergent species with the same genetic root. Their form can evolve significantly over the span of 4 or 5 generations, while for most species, evolution is a journey so gradual that it cannot be witnessed by mortals. I have seen Croot returning from service with the Chassartal, which have developed an ability to withstand chlorine atmosphere in the course of a few Tokra. Major changes, I would suggest, are possible, but require a greater exposure to the source of the mutation, possibly over several generations. In this case, the source of the mutation is their diet. As we have known for some time, the Croot feed on the flesh of the dead, an unwholesome and primitive practice which many hoped we could dissuade them from. In fact, this practice is the source of the Croot's greatest strength and their largest potential contribution to the Empire. The Croot are organized into family groups, which we call kindreds. The elder of this group, termed a shaper, is apparently able to analyze the content of its gut and extract from its characteristics that might be of use to the Croot genetic code. This task is apparently performed intuitively, but demonstrates a mastery that the finest minds of Bukan would struggle to conceptualize. Once a characteristic of their prey is identified, then the shaper will direct members of the family group to consume this particular prey animal. Breeding is then controlled to ensure that those who have absorbed the chosen genetic morsel fix it as a part of their own DNA. From the standpoint of pure survival, we have a carrion eater that, faced with a more dominant life form, can absorb its characteristics within a very short time. It is likely that the Croot have used this technique extensively, as within every broad category of fauna on Peck, there is an example which is 99% Croot. The Croot have evolved from avians. That much is clear, although whether this original form was similar to the Croot hawk is speculation at this point. They still retain beaks and a light bone structure. Life abounds on Peck's primary continent, so the proto-Croot could always feed. But for their genetic quirk, they would have remained in this state while other life forms became the dominant species. The cause of the anomaly is unknown, but at some point the Croot genetic code began to mutate. As I hope you have learned, sister, the bulk of normal DNA contains no data, but merely serves to divide the data that does exist. The Croot's mutation turned this space into a blank slate for retention of new genetic data. The mutation is not random in its working. Instead, the Croot seem to be able to make choices. The more complex the DNA of the food, the more likely the Croot will absorb something useful. Successful adaptations thrived, others died out. The overall effect was a rapidly accelerated evolutionary program which left the Croot the dominant species on Peck long before such a situation should have been possible. The Croot brain is unusual insofar that it is a combination of cerebral hemispheres and clusters of ganglia. The ganglia run the length of their crests and are very efficient at interpreting sensory information. a feature which, combined with their superb senses, makes the Kroot very difficult to hide from. In this regard, the ganglia are similar in function to the Tau thalamus. They have two cerebral hemispheres, one behind the other. The front hemisphere controls logic and memory, and is considerably more developed than the other hemisphere, which governs imagination and creativity. Kroot interpret what they perceive and react accordingly, with little emotional clutter. The rear hemisphere is another mutation. It controls their inventiveness and imagination, and has a very limited capacity. Whilst it is more pronounced in some Kroot kindreds, this limits the Kroot's creativity considerably, with the consequence that they have gone about as far technologically as they are likely to go without the help of a more sophisticated people. The Kroot have little capacity for further mutation without seriously destabilizing their DNA. They cannot therefore acquire every advanced trait they encounter, or their variety will end, trapped in a single form that is genetically a dead end. Krootowns and Krootox are examples of this error being made in the past. Kroot history is littered with these evolutionary cul-de-sacs, although their rapid development is testament to its effectiveness. The Kroot digestive system is capable of breaking down virtually any organic substance to a pure energy form, which they retain in organs called ramunes, spread throughout the body. The stored energy can be used to maintain the Kroot during a lengthy hibernation period. The Kroot, as carrion eaters, are quite content to wait out their prey and can initiate a state of hibernation at will, during which their metabolism slows to a halt. The Kroot are a bizarre mixture of evolutionary quirks. Unable to urinate or defecate, they have probably the most efficient digestive system I have ever examined. Virtually nothing they consume is wasted, although some undigestible materials are regurgitated. The chemicals synthesized from their food are released as thick, viscous sweat. I know it is unfitting for a Fior, seeking only to serve, but the stench is unbearable to me. I am sure they realize this, although they feign ignorance. Yesterday, a particularly foul-smelling beast named Umutu spent the whole light time following me around, giving off a range of odors that amused the other Kroot but left me nauseous. I am sure he found it funny. I suppose I should be glad to discover that there is such a thing as Kroot humor. Standing about 30% taller than us, the Kroot are lean and wiry. They have muscles like metal cables, able to pull taut in an instant, giving them a jerky, deceptively fast gait. They can jump large distances when they need to, and can maneuver through branches of trees with practiced ease. They seem to ignore shifts in climate and atmosphere. They have a rapport with other wildlife that is probably based on the fact that the Kroot are only interested in such life forms as food when they are dead. Although their own language is a mixture of clicks, squawks, and hoots, the Kroot are superb mimics and are able to link sounds to a particular piece of body language very quickly. Last rota, I spent a few decks teaching a Kroot youngling to speak Tau. He could make himself understood by dark time and is now one of our escorts. Whilst we cannot be certain, it is our current belief that the Kroot still have the capacity for further selective mutation. There seems to be several different approaches to achieving this among the Kroot. All shapers seem to belong to one of a number of kindreds, each seeking a different path. This is the nearest thing to a nation we have found among the Kroot. We have evidence that each kindred has a fractionally different genetic code to the others. We immediately saw that despite their apparent primitivism, the Kroot enjoyed a caste system related to our own. This reassured us considerably, and, over our time, we have come to care for our hosts as the unsophisticated creatures they are. With our guidance, they will prosper. I have spoken with Shasla Toun Drakon, who most often guards us on our travels. He tells me that the Kroot are fearsome warriors and that now they are being supplied with charged rounds for their rifles. They will be a valuable addition to the Empire's forces. We have both remarked on how Peck has the vestigial traces of industry and manufacture, yet the Kroot lifestyle is wholly primitive. We have no idea how they can, on the one hand, operate their huge war spheres, but on the other, live in tree hives bound together with regurgitated dead wood. We have detected unusual energy emissions from some hills nearby and will investigate shortly. The Shas-La has remarked to me that he has noticed a far greater variety of Kroot kindred on Peck than he has seen serving with our armies. This is odd, as many of the Kroot on Peck are clearly warriors and liable under the terms of the annexation to military service. Last Kairota, I saw a war sphere disembarking its warriors, among which there were many injured Kroot. I checked with Sha'atol Command and was told there had been no sanctioned combat involving Kroot recently. It is therefore my conclusion that many Kroot still pursue their old lifestyle as mercenaries outside the control of the Tau Empire. We were aware that not all Kroot were in agreement with annexation, so we assumed that the dissidents had left Peck to pursue a nomadic lifestyle. Their activities do not disturb us, but their periodic return to Peck is at worst a destabilizing influence, and at best a break on the progress we have planned for this species. As I mentioned, there are many species on Peck which have emerged from the Kroot. We have identified three closely related species already. The oldest stable form we have been able to find is a reclusive wing species about half the height of a normal Kroot. This variety of Kroot hawk lives in remote nests at the top of the tallest jagger trees and is independent of the Kroot proper. The Kroot we question tell us that the Kroot hawks are sacred to them and have always been the way they are. We have yet to secure a specimen for examination and have decided that it would be indiscreet to simply shoot one. The Kroot hounds are undeniably descended from the same root as the Kroot themselves. We surmise that they are the remains of a previous kindred's selective mutations. Perhaps they sought to emulate a successful pack hunter, but whatever their intention, they became entirely locked into this one form. Evolution for them now is no different to that of Era Jabirds in the orchards of Aeon Bukana Rafa. Their form is particularly vile, though. While I have learned to regard the Kroot with some affection, I despise the Kroot hounds. They are slavering brutes which will kill even when they are well fed. I once found myself alone in a glade when a Kroot hound happened by. It just stared at me, alternately sniffing and growling. The more nervous I got, the more it growled. I am sure it would have attacked me, but Mataba, the shaper in charge of our escort, appeared out of the trees and, without any apparent communication, the Kroot hound slunk off. The Krootox are different again. They wander the forest floor in large clans, feeding off the moulds that cover the lower trunks of the jagger trees. They are huge creatures, and are as strong as any warrior in a crisis suit. They are short-tempered, but essentially harmless. Just as the Kroot hounds are trapped in their feral form, the Krootox are trapped as grazing beasts. I suspect that they have a measure more intelligence, though, and have been impressed by their loyalty to the Kroot. When a Kroot ox is domesticated, it becomes attached to its masters to the extent that it will die to protect them. Drokan joked that they were as faithful to the Kroot as we are to the ethereal ones. I chided him that there was more to our devotion than simple reaction to exuded chemical odours. The very thought. The Kroot ox are used as beasts of burden and are the most reliable of animals. When angered, they are said to be terrifying. But I have yet to see them so. I have noted that the Kroot are careful not to mistreat them, though. There are many other species on Peck, closely related to the Kroot. Mataba has warned me that some are outcast among the Kroot and are killed if found. I shudder to think the horror that Mataba considers worthy of a warning. The Shaper is a formidable creature and has served well. So, sister, if the thinkers back home try to tell you that the Kroot are just primitives who don't deserve to share our destiny, you tell them they are wrong. It is wonderful that, because of the Empire, we can study such fascinating creatures and enlist their support in our great purpose. The next message boat will not be here for at least 2 Kairota, but I will write again then. For the greater good. And there you go. a little bit of super old lore from the first codex. I tell you, I've been going through this and it's such a joy. I think it's probably one of the best well-written codexes I've ever read, you know, just with all the lore and how it lays everything out. But obviously this was the first presentation of the Tau Empire. And the Kroot are the best part of the Tau Empire, I think. If they just brought out the Tau and they didn't have the Kroot in there, I think it would have been a bit stale. So adding the Kroot in there really added flavour. They're one of my favourite things in 40K. I love me a bit of junk sci-fi biology. It's always good fun. Selective mutation. I love all that. It's good stuff. I remember back in the day, you used to be able to ally. I don't know if you still can. I don't know what the new rules are on 40K. I haven't bothered learning. I don't know if you can ally stuff or it's all keywords and all that sort of stuff in it. But back in the day, you used to be able to just ally Kroot into your army. And I had an Imperial Guard army at the time. So I had Praetorians and I had a nice auxiliary of Kroot warriors attached to it. And you used to, in the army list that they gave, it was in chapter approved, I think, you used to be able to give, you know, because obviously the Kroot selectively mutate themselves. There's another word for that. But it's not good for YouTube. But you used to be able to upgrade the... So, like, if this Kroot had been feeding on orcs, you could upgrade their toughness, the defense, I can't remember. You know, so they've got more orc DNA. Same thing with, like, Dark Eldar or Eldar. They'd get, like, more attack or initiative or something like that, or ballistic skill. I can't remember. But there was different upgrades, basically, you could do to represent what they've been feeding on. And then you could add them in. And I had a unit of Kroot snipers because they had Kroot sniper rifles. And back in then, my army was just like a gun line because I was, like, 13 and I didn't know how to play the game. So it was just a gun line of Imperial Guard. And then I had a squad of... I painted them blue as well. It was like blue, and then I dry brushed them dark. Like it was like dark blue to give like a sort of Dark Eldar vibe. I really liked the Dark Eldar back then as well. And then you had a sniper squad. So like when someone got close enough, then I've got these pretty decent combat troops to throw in there compared to the Imperial Guard anyway. To throw into there to hold them up another turn, so I can shoot them with my las cannons more. But yeah, good stuff. I really liked it. Of course, if you don't know the history of the Kroot. I've done a few videos on the history of the Kroot. If you look for my channel, you find them. But the main thing is the Kroot, Peck, was attacked by the orcs. Well, an orc rock landed on Peck and the Kroot ate them. And that led to their technological... Because obviously the orcs are an engineered race by the old ones. So their technological base and everything is hard-coded into their DNA. After a certain progression, they begin to build things depending on the size of the orcs and the psychic presence of the orcs. It unlocks the DNA basically and allows them to build, you know, all these spaceships and stuff like this from nothing. And all this, it's intuitive, yeah? It's genetic. So the Kroot ingesting that have inherited a lot of technology, and then they've used it in their own way, if you get me, intuitively. So that the technology that the, am I explaining this correctly? The technological base that the orcs have hard coded into their DNA has been inherited to a lesser extent by the Kroot who fed on them when they landed on Peck. And that means that the Kroot have intuitively, genetically, a technological base that they can use whenever. And obviously this led to a problem when the orcs invaded again. And destroyed the industrial society, the hive cities, and things like this that the Kroot had built. Anyway, this is a whole other thing, but it's interesting. I love the Kroot. I love the whole story of the Kroot. I think it's so cool. It's such a great addition to 40K. They're really added to it. They're one of the only sort of Xenos races that I really really like. You know, they're mercenaries. They're kind of they're grey. You know, they've got their own thing going on, and their purpose is just simply to evolve. You know, it's really interesting. But anyway. I'm just ranting. Love the Kroot. And when that new Kroot box comes out, there's a new... We're in 10th edition now. If you're listening to the future, the Kroot and the Tau Empire haven't had their codex released yet. And there's a big Kroot box planned. And I might pick it up because I really like... I like the Kroot that much. Yeah, and I think the special store miniature is a Kroot warrior or a Kroot shaper in a unique pose. And I'll probably pick that up. I really love Kroot. I really love Kroot. I've still got my original Kroot metal shaper. Who's the special? He was like, I think he's the only special character the Kroot have ever had. I think he was the first shaper or the shaper that signed the treaty with the Tau. He's sort of like the most respected shaper. I don't know. But yeah, it's good stuff. I love all that. I love it all. I love it all. Anyway, I'll be back again very, very soon. Thank you all for watching. More stuff coming up. I'm on a bit of a Tau thing at the minute. Don't worry, it'll come to an end soon. We're going to get back to... then we got some Blood Angel stuff and then other stuff later. But for the minute, this is where I am. And yeah, what a great sort of introduction to the Tao. What a great the Tao was such an interesting thing to add to the universe. I know some people don't like them, but I think they're a great addition. I think it's really clever what they've done with them. And the Kroot especially, I love the Kroot. I'd like to see more sort of little Xenos races like this. You know, you don't need loads of stuff with them, just a little bit of, you know, just to see their perspective on things. And I love the Kroot because they don't really care. They got their own thing going on. Like everything that's going on, it's just, you know, we're mercenaries. Who cares? anyway, I'll see you later. Ta-ra, bye-bye. May the Emperor protect, or the great, for the greater good.